If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But in just a moment, we're going to be speaking to Nonsuku Timkulu, the head of customers at Gem HR. And we're speaking about a report that's been done by Gem HR that says 50% of frontline workers have no savings, and that's up from 44% last year. Nearly three quarters of people have less than 500 rand saved, and almost half run out of money before month end. That is what we are discussing here. Nonsuku Timkulu, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Business Evening. Just take us through that deskless worker pulse study, why you decided to do it, and how you collected that data.
Thank you so much for having me. So I think the Deskless Pulse Worker Report that we do is an annual study that really looks at the real experiences of South African frontline, or what we refer to as deskless workers. So what we do is that we speak to the people that keep our economy running essentially every day. We speak directly to people like your security guards, your cashiers, your cleaners. So these are the people that essentially drive our economy. But what we found is that their well-beings, their motivations, and what support they need. So this report really, I think what it tries to surface is the real life struggles that the deskless employee faces on a month-to-month basis, where we saw almost half of them running out of money before the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. And that's an indictment on so much. But what are people then doing if they are meeting those circumstances where they're not able to get through the month? And I'm not, you know, speaking down. I'm saying, what are the practical realities of that?
So what we've seen as a big result of the deskless pulse is that people, when they run out of money before the end of the month, they're faced with either one of two situations. Firstly, they are under immense pressure to get to the same work, so they're reliant on very much abo mashonisa or same day loans, which charge them ridiculous interest, as we might know. But also, what ends up happening is that it's either you borrow money from a mashonisa or you have absolutely no ways of getting to work. Mm-hmm. So when we are looking at this group of individuals, they essentially have no breathing room at all. Even though these workers are committed and consistently show up every day, the basic economic of their lives has become harder to navigate, just because they do not get enough left over at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. And when we are speaking about frontline workers, we're speaking about people who work in security, retail, logistics, sanitation and hygiene. These are people who most of us interact with on a day-to-day basis, and you've said who are actually the backbone of the economy.
Yes.
And so that's a crisis in itself, right?
So the crisis that we're really seeing in here is that the biggest pressure point for these people is that frontline workers are usually always breadwinners, and they don't support just themselves, but also extended family. So the biggest pressure that they face as a security guard, as a cleaner, as a cashier, is that I do not have sufficient money left behind for food and transport. And those, what we found as part of the report, is that those alone are the two things that make up most of the workers' incomes. So they are the top concern, is that the three quarters of frontline workers, which shows how widespread the strain is. When someone earns as little as 4 to 10,000 rand a month, the cost leaves among what they have left over at the end of the month essentially means that if I have a burst tire, if I've got a child that is sick, I'm left with nothing else as part of the emergency fund or savings, because as you mentioned earlier on, we also found that there is 73% have less than 500 rands of savings. So we found that the people that we rely on the most to have food on the shelves or to even fill up our petrol are the people that are facing major, major challenges when it comes to being able to just make it to the next payday, essentially.
Yeah, and then there's a feeling of being trapped in a cycle, because when you spoke to frontline workers, they say also perhaps a lot of them don't feel as though there's a chance for promotion or to get out of that cycle.
Yes, that is one of the findings that were there. So what we saw is that the resilience and commitment from the frontline workers genuinely gives me hope personally. They show up no matter what. However, what we're finding is that employers are also beginning to recognize that supporting workers creates real business value, not just goodwill. So what we're seeing is that people are encouraged to go to work, but also they met with the glaring reality of not ever being able to get promoted to anything better. But at the same time, they have families to feed and commitments to get to. So it's a real, real struggle that we're facing. And we're just trying to raise awareness onto this and find practical solutions on how do we go about essentially supporting the frontline worker as employers.
And I know you and I are chatting about frontline workers. Did you extend the survey? Because I don't think this is just a problem of people who are frontline workers. I know when we've spoken to other economists or people who've done surveys, they say generally the middle class and most people in South Africa are facing this issue where there's more month than money and these issues come up.
So the risk is that we already are vulnerable as the workforce and we are in deeper instability. So if people can't meet their basic needs, people tend to be absent, turnover spikes up, and their mental health in general takes a serious knock. Ultimately, businesses carry the cost of instability through lower productivity, and there's a greater hiring pressure as a result. So I think that as a country, we risk losing skilled frontline workers who simply cannot afford to stay in their roles.
And then that also brings us to the point of when you are stressed out and when there's financial stress, as you're saying, people leave. I'm also looking at your study here, and it says that there's no buffer against stress, illness, or emergencies, and that must do something to your productivity as well. Because if you're not completely focused on the job, if you're not, you know, au sharp, you're not okay because you're thinking about your rent or you're thinking about transport, as you've said, that's an issue. That impacts on also how you deal with your colleagues and the environment in general.
Absolutely, and the most important thing, or the sobering reality that came out of this report this time around, is that people are now essentially like they're really struggling. They're struggling to make it to the next payday, and it's a real, real reality that we're facing.
And then tell me about your earned wages. What does that mean? Take us through how people interact with that. What is that product?
So essentially, our earned wage access offers a core benefit, and it takes steps to ensure that staff understand how to use it. And it is essentially a platform that allows what we will call a flexible access to wages that would already be paid onto you. So what this does is that it actually gives employees flexibility to be able to rather take 100 rand even to get to work that day, as opposed to going to a loan shark. So the earned wage access is a new way of thinking about, like, how do we actually remunerate people? And that's essentially just one of the ways in which we're trying to improve focus and avoid debt traps that are formed when we go through traditional ways of having access to very low values of money during the month.
I mean, one would ask, what's the difference between you and a mashonisa?
The difference between us and a mashonisa, I think, is two things. Firstly, earned wage access is a facility that the employer would introduced to the frontline workers, mm-hmm. which means that it is a facility that they can access because they are employed by a specific company. So what this does is that it actually looks at how many days have I worked within a month. That would then mean that I have accumulated a sum that I can then withdraw from. What then also makes us different is the fees that are associated when you are taking a sum out of your salary as opposed to a 50% interest that you would pay with a Mashonisa. With yeah. earned wage access, it's really affordable. It's about a flat percentage of 3.5%, which if you're looking at it from a 500 rand basis, it is yeah. a huge difference. So what we're trying to do is not essentially rewrite the story. What we're trying to do is offer the frontline employees a much safer and affordable way to having access to their own earned wages before mm-hmm. payday. So instead of high interest borrowing loans from friends or people accessing money at a fraction at a cost, it's really just there at your own disposal because you are part of a company that provides this facility to be able to improve not only your well-being, but also your focus at work. And most importantly, it avoids that debt trap or that we're seeing out there.
When you say a fraction of the cost, what do you mean?
So if we could put it like this, so if you were to borrow a 500 rand, for example, let's say from your friend at work, mm-hmm. and that billed with like interest would come out to, let's say, repayment at about 750 rand mm-hmm. Just for taking your own 500 rand. When you are using earned wage access, our fee on withdrawal is as little as 3.5%. So which means that on a 500 rand, the only payable fee, which is once off, is 3.50 rand out of my own money directly from my own salary that I would have been expecting to have in any case at the end of the month. So what this does is that it leaves the employee at a better position because they are now paying less to have access to their own fees as opposed to paying a 50 to sometimes highs of 80% when it comes to what Mashonisas charge out there.
I'm interested to know how you would gain the trust of both the companies that you go into and say, we've got this service, we'd like to offer it to your employees, and also the employees as well.
So how we usually do that is that we work really closely with the businesses that want to start introducing this facility. Mm-hmm. And what we usually firstly is do is that we really try to understand what is the current nature and financial standing of the employees. Is there a culture of borrowing? Is there even a culture of lending directly from the HR teams? Thereafter, we're able to actually first establish a need within that business to say, what if we explored an option that's actually going to create not just flexibility for the employee, but also is going to reduce quite a lot of the manual work which now needs to be done if I have to go directly to my HR. So we look at quite a lot of the factors. And I think the most important differentiator is that we allow the employee to have a voice and a say against their own salary, as opposed to essentially needing to pay post the fact quite exorbitant fees. So we work really closely with the employer to understand their standing, and we then speak directly to the employees and ensure that they also fully understand, and that's how we essentially get their buy-in.
Mm-hmm. Nonsuku Timkulu, Head of Customers at GEM HR. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Business Evening, just giving us an overview of how deskless workers are coping with the challenges around transport, no savings, stress, medical emergencies, and so much more. Really appreciate your time on Kaya Biz this evening.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.